welcome to the stage your hosts for the afternoon, Esther and Mo.
Hi everybody, and hi Esther.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon as we close out Microsoft Ignite for 2017. I think you'd all agree with me, this has been a really fun, jam-packed week. We saw some phenomenal performances last night on this very stage, and a very big shout out to everyone that participated in the band jam. But there was one highlight for me. That was George Derwent from Telstra. George, are you in the room? If you are, please stand up. I want you to give George an amazing round of applause. So we've got a new Jimmy Barnes impersonator in making there, and his piano playing was absolutely phenomenal. So thanks, George. And look, we were fortunate enough to have Scott Guthrie's Unplugged session straight after the keynote. And I wanted to talk about the favourite question from the audience. And that was, can you tell us about where your next data centre locations are? So if the guys in the audience that was here that asked the question, unfortunately the answer is still secret.
It was also great to see the Hack Theatre transformed for our diversity and inclusion breakfast on Wednesday morning. It was themed around accessibility, and it was, I'm sorry for those of you that missed out on the breakfast, but it was really great to see how many of you care about making technology accessible for everyone in our community.
So Esther, I hear we broke a few records this year. How about you take us through some of the stats?
Cool. We actually have broken a few records this year, and I thought we might change things up. Rather than me just walking through the stats, I thought we'd play a game. So we're going to play heads or tails, and whoever the winner is going to get a prize. So the rules of the game are really simple. If I'm going to ask a question. If you think the answer is heads, simply put your hands on your head. If you think the answer is tails, simply put your hands on your butt. So what I'm going to get everyone to do is stand up. We will do a practice run. So if you think if you get the question correct, you stay standing. If you get the question wrong, sit down. If you see someone cheating, just give them a little nudge, just let them know you saw them. So this is our practice question. So what did I have for breakfast this morning? If you think that the answer's heads, bacon and egg roll with a touch of tomato sauce, put your hands on your head. And if you think the answer's tails, a muesli fruit cereal with a skim flat white, put your hands on your butt. Everyone selected? The answer is... heads. Okay, so that was a practice run. So everyone stay standing. Mo, kick us off with the first question.
Sure. So how many square metres does Ignite take up? For heads, is it 9,568 square metres or 14,368 square metres for tails? Okay, and the answer is tails. Hey. So all the heads, please sit down. Don't forget to nudge the person next to you. And just as a comparison, it's around about the size of the field on the MCG.
Awesome. So our next question, how many cups of coffee did we drink this week? So heads, 5,100 or tails, 8,800 cups? And hence, this is a record breaker.
Okay, the answer is tails. So for the people who had their hands on their head, please sit down. Okay, next question. How much data was uploaded as of 12 p.m. today? Now, just before I do this, this is about the equivalent of around about 19,000 episodes of Gilmore Girls off Netflix. Right? So, heads, 4.7 terabytes, tails, 3.8 terabytes. It's heads. We're not whittling them down very fast here. We might have to use all these questions.
Oh. Okay, so next question. How many hours of breakout session content was logged this week? So heads, 292.15 hours or tails, 228.75 hours? Okay, the answer is tails. Oh, they got a lot of you out.
They got rid of a few. Right, here we go. Getting into the pointy end. So how many do you think we got? Maybe about 50 or 60?
Okay. Yeah, all right, we'll keep going.
Next question. So how many meals did we devour this week? Heads, 24,700 or tails, 23,920? Okay, the answer was heads.
Okay, next question. How many meters of patch leads are needed for this event? So heads is 3,109 meters or tails 4,402 meters? The answer is heads. Okay, how many are there left of you?
Yeah, I think okay, one more round.
One more round.
What was the average length of the hack sessions that we had this week? Was it 15 minutes for heads or 20 minutes for tails? There's a couple of cheaters in the audience too that already know this answer. It was tails.
Tails.
Okay, I think it's time to bring everyone down.
Yeah, okay, so if you're still in the game, come on down. Yay! Just form a straight line for me here. Just a straight line. Come forward. There's a few of you.
Straight in.
Okay. Oh, there's a few.
Just make just a couple of lines here. We'll just get a step back.
Can we see everyone?
Everyone? Okay. I've got a few more questions for you, and then we might have to go ad hoc because we're starting to run out of questions here, but let's go. So, how many sessions were submitted to the call for content? Heads, 529, or tails, 641? Answer was tails. So those of you with the hands on your heads, please leave the stage.
Thanks, guys. Just bundle up a little bit. Okay, next question. How many breakout sessions did we have in total? Heads, 181, or tails, 169? Don't all copy each other.
We got one.
Okay, and the answer is heads.
Sorry, mate. Okay, how many power boards were used this week? Heads, 409, tails, 408. Everyone locked in?
Yep.
Heads.
Heads. Oh, that took a lot
okay,
of you out.
Okay, you're moving to the centre, please, guys.
Oh, three more, okay.
Okay, I think you should all stand back to back in a circle if you can.
Yeah,
can. Stand back to back. That's it, that's fine.
Yep, don't look at each other. Okay.
Okay, so how many minutes of content were there in total this week? 18,019 minutes for heads or 13,725 for tails?
Answer?
Answer is tails. Congratulations, Hudson.
Congratulations. Get a quick
photo. Thank you.
Quick photo. No problem. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I think we've got some other congratulations that are due too. Who managed to complete a certification this week? Please stand up. You can get the house lights up. Congratulations. That's a phenomenal effort,
guys. Big round of applause for these guys.
Awesome.
So for those of you that didn't manage to get a certification done, or you're not quite prepared yet, keep in mind that all the content from this week is going to be available online. You can jump onto the Channel 9 website next week, and you'll be able to go and get all the slides and videos.
Awesome. And with that, I wanted to introduce to you one of the most innovative fashionistas, authors, and geeks going around. Our next speaker is an amazing advocate for technology, a true believer that technology is the enabler for social good, and she also heads up our Windows Insider program, one of the largest global community engagement programs. Please welcome to the stage, Donna Sakaar.
Something scary this way comes. You look alarmed. Don't worry. I might be an American, but I didn't bring my American politics with me. No, it's a lot more reoccurring than that. You hear about it on the radio on your drive to work every day. You see it in the new worry lines on your boss's face. You think about it over and over as you make a down payment on that brand new condo. These words haunt you, like that annoying poltergeist that moves things around in your house. It haunts you. And like any good, proper horror movie, it's coming from inside the industry. It calls itself disruption. Now, disruption is interesting because it claims that it's going to come in here. It's going to hijack your business. It's going to steal away your customers in the middle of the night. Like those dingo stories you're trying to scare us Americans away with? Not working. We love your country. So, tell me, who's had enough of this nonsense of hearing about how disruption is going to come hijack your business and steal away your customers? Who's had enough of hearing about it? Raise your hands. All of you are sick and tired of hearing about it, right? Every single one of you is sick and tired of hearing about how you're going to get disrupted. No chance. Not going to happen. Not on our watch. Listen. It's time that our IT professionals take a stand. This is your industry. You built this from the ground up. Every single one of you had a hand in building up this beautiful, beautiful industry, and the result of your hard work over the last how many years that you've been in it. You're in this room because you're absolutely killing it in your jobs. Your companies and organizations did not send you here for a week because you're bad at your job. They sent you here because you are the future leaders of this company, of these companies, this country, and this industry. It's all the people in this room. Certainly, you're not going to stand by and get disrupted, right? No chance. So, disruption, not recognized. Instead, let's talk about something we've talked about all week long. We got this. Every single one of you is going to lead the revolution of digital transformation. As we've heard all week long, starting with Scott, through every single session, every single keynote, if you're not transforming digitally, you're not transforming, right? Now, come on, guys. Only dead fish go with the flow, right? We're not cool with not transforming. It starts right now, right here. This conference has armed you with all of the tools you need to actually go out there and get this done. So who's actually ready to go out there and get this done? Everyone, yes, I'm an American. I need more than that. Come on, let's go. Woo! There you go. Okay. So how do we do this? How does this work? Let me introduce you to someone who's very much like you. This is my friend Jess. Jess leads the IT department at PageProof, a documentation annotation company. How PageProof works is that one person will take a document that they'd like annotated, drag it into a web browser, and then send an email link to their potential clients. It's heavily used in the educator space between teachers and students. Teachers will send a homework assignment to their students, students will do it, students will send it back, teachers will annotate with a red pen. Now, you probably know who likes this more, teachers or students, right? Students are like, I hate this service. Teachers are like, best service ever. So, but like you, Jess's business faces very similar goals and challenges. They have a goal of expanding their customer base this year. But like everyone else, money is tight, resources are scarce. So what's Jess going to do? Jess is an Aussie. You know what she's going to do? She's going to do the thing. She is not going to stand by and just let disruption happen to her industry and not evolve her business because money's tight. Jess has a secret weapon. She belongs to the Windows Insiders. Windows is a product that Jess is intimately familiar with. She's actually built her business on Windows. And the Windows Insider program, which some of you may have heard about this week, is not just a pre-release beta program. This is not just a program where people install builds and send feedback and yell at me on Twitter. No builds today. The Windows Insiders are a community of people who shape the future of technology for their world. And they do it with digital transformation. Now, how does this actually happen, right? How does a company like Microsoft take something that's traditionally a very pipeline business like Windows, right? Who remembers when Windows used to take 3 years to ship? Yeah, all of you remember. So how does a company like Microsoft take something that is a traditionally pipeline business and turn it into a platform? Jess is intrigued by this idea, and we're going to dig deeper into how she's going to do this for her business. But first, I'm going to give you an example from another industry that I'm pretty intimately familiar with and that all of you are too. The year is 2002. I decided that I want to be a published author. So very diligently, I wrote a manuscript. I printed it out, 400 pages, put it in a box, and shipped it off to New York City. Sixth Avenue, tall skyscraper, Simon & Schuster, Random House, Penguin, HarperCollins. And from upon high, editors decide, is your manuscript good enough for you to be a published author or not? The gatekeepers, they ruled the industry. Their decisions were based on emotional things, because they're humans, and humans are very emotional creatures. We like to think we're data-driven, that's a lie. We're very, very emotion-driven. They were driven by who are the authors that have done well historically? Who did I go to college with? Who do I have a 10-year deal with? Who do I play golf with? And not only did they choose who was going to get published, but they chose which of those books were going to be bestsellers. They would push them to the front of bookstores. They would put them everywhere in airports where you can't help but grab as you run to the airplane. Completely pipeline business, the publishing industry. 2008 rolls around. A little company named Amazon raises its hand and says, you know what? We're booksellers. We're tired of this. We're going to turn this publishing industry into a platform business. Publishing houses said, no chance, not going to happen. Good luck with that. And in one day, Amazon disrupted the entire industry. They introduced a service called Kindle Publishing Platform. Anyone, you, me, can be a published author. Using these basic creating tools that are just for formatting, you upload your manuscript and you push it to the Kindle Publishing Platform and let the humans decide. Is your manuscript good? Everyone's now a published author. Are you good enough to be a bestseller? What do your ratings and rankings say? This is no longer decided by gatekeepers in New York City and towers on Avenue of the Americas. This is now determined by us, the humans who actually consume this work. The publishing industry is shocked. How can this happen? It's because the era of pipeline businesses is coming to an end. Because as we grow more and more knowledgeable about the world and our options, our endless options, the more we're going to want a hand in choosing. We don't want something created behind the curtain and handed it to us. We want a hand in creating it, every single aspect of our lives. So, pipeline. What? Pipeline is historical, platform is new. We keep talking about this. What exactly is a platform? What is a goal of a platform? Very simply, a goal of a platform is to attract people, facilitate the ability to have some sort of interaction between them so that these people can talk about their needs, and then create matches so that people are talking to the right people. Create matches, facilitate the exchange of goods, services, or social currency. Platforms win every single time because no longer are the days of the linear value chain a thing. And no longer are the days of gatekeepers a thing. When you don't have gatekeepers, you can grow at an exponential speed. The thing that holds our businesses back is ourselves and our fears. It's not our audiences. Our audiences are more than ready for it. So Jess digs deeper. She digs deeper and realizes that, wow, I'm a member of a lot of platforms. And as are all of us. On Friday nights, Jess picks up her phone and calls an Uber. She knows that she's a good rider because an Uber always shows up quickly. When a driver is good, she gives them a good review. That tight feedback loop leads to a very good Uber experience for her and the driver. She's a consumer of Uber. She's not a driver, so she's not a producer. Airbnb is a different story. Jess has a lot of business travel. So when she travels, she Airbnbs out her apartment. Based on the feedback loop from her customers, her community of people who rent her place, she knows she's a good host. So she can be picky and only rent her place to high-quality guests. Jess has a very healthy competition with one of her coworkers using Fitbit. They track their steps at lunch. And Jess is both a producer and a consumer of this data. Fitbit is brilliant because no one actually woke up one day and says, we want to track our steps. Everyone said, we want to be healthier. And there's nothing like fostering a little bit of friendly competition between humans to want to quantify and share that. Jess has a YouTube channel where she shares best practices of IT administration with other people like her. She's a producer of content, but also a consumer. She follows many other DevOps and IT professionals to understand how she can be running her business better. That's how she found out about the Windows Insider Program. Jess also does not tell many people. She has a profile in OkCupid, because how else are you going to meet someone in DevOps? And lastly, Jess belongs to the Windows Insider Program. This network of people who are the millions who represent the billions of Windows customers. So when you think about your life, how many platforms do you belong to? You probably belong to 5 to 10. It's very, very common. And think about how you are a producer or are you a consumer? And think about the companies that actually host these platforms. What exactly do they create? Did they just create the matching mechanism, or do they actually create content? And think about how this relates to your business. Because right now, we're all in the business of creating things. But is that something that our customers and our communities can be doing instead? So, Jess is a Windows Insider, and she's an Aussie. She's not one to sit around and wait for things to happen to her. No, she's going to go happen to things. Jess is ready to turn proof into a platform. She has a mission, and she's going to embark on this the Windows Insider way. First, she's going to learn the thing. Two, she's going to experiment about the thing. Three, she's going to go talk to other humans about the thing. And fourth, she's going to do the thing. So let's go. Let's do this right now. First, learn about the thing. You don't get to do the thing till you understand what the thing even is. So she starts doing her research and realizes that she must learn more about platforms, how platforms are brought up from the ground. To her delight, she realizes that platforms aren't just for internet companies. There's many an old school company that's made its transformation from consumer goods, physical objects, to a platform. For software companies, she watched the rise of Amazon, where Amazon Marketplace debuted in 1993, and they started by creating this basis of things that they sold to consumers. And they had two mottos. Anything in the world that you're looking for, you can find here, and the customer service will be exceptional. So they started as a platform where they themselves were the producers, and the consumers was most people in the world. Eventually, they opened their system up so that those consumers could also become producers. But by then, they'd already trained the patterns of good behavior, so the quality was high and the value was good. Adobe did it slightly differently. Adobe decided, with their PDF business, that they were going to go target a very, very specific group of people. They used a thing called the seeding model. Adobe decided that they were going to convince the government of something. No one knows how they did this, because convincing the government to do anything is amazing, right? So Adobe convinced the government that all of their tax forms should be online, and the format they should use is PDF. Now, once you've got the government using PDF and tax forms, most of us who pay taxes, we're going to have to use PDF. And once you install the reader and start using PDF, guess what you're going to fall back to? You're going to use PDF. So they followed this model of once you get a bunch of people in and using a platform, then all of the people who want to engage with that first set are going to use your platform as well. an old school company like Nike. What do shoes have to do with the platform? It turns out Nike CEO Phil Knight is brilliant. He realized that they can't just speculate and do small usability studies over what kinds of shoes they should make next year. So they decided to get into the activity tracker business. They came up with the Nike Fuel Band. And this Fuel Band, every second, transmits petabytes of data into the cloud about what you're doing. How many steps you get, what activities you participate in, how much you sleep at night. And this data that we send to Nike helps them make better products for everybody. This is how the latest batch of shoes were made, not by user studies in a lab, but by the petabytes of data all of you send them. An even older school industry is McCormick Spices. Now you might be thinking, what in the heck is a spice company doing with the platform business? It turns out that McCormick's realized that, you know, you can only make so many spices before you're out of things to do. We're becoming more and more time-crunched. We're not trying to explore the world of spices, right? They realized this. So in late 2000s, they decided they were going to introduce a platform. They partnered with celebrity chefs to co-create recipes using their spices. And on their website, they had all of these recipes posted. They reached out to all of the people who received their newsletter, their community, and invited them to come try these recipes and rate them. Once these folks were trying recipes and rating, they were used to the idea of actually engaging on this web platform that McCormick's had made. So McCormick's opened up the system and said, okay, all of you can post recipes as well. And based on the recipes that people posted, they were able to say, and the rankings that other people gave them, they were able to say which spices and flavor profiles are the most prolific and popular. And they made their next batch of spice mixes from that point onward. They did not do expensive usability studies in a lab. They didn't make spice mixes and A/B test them. These are all expensive activities. They decided to let the humans let them know through their personal experiences. Jess is incredibly impressed to learn about all these companies. This incredibly diverse group of companies has been able to do this. And she realizes that she's got a real chance at trying her hand to build a platform of people who use PageProof. So a bunch of you might be asking, like, listen, Jess, you're an IT professional. This is not your business. No one in this room, not Jess, not me, not Blair, not my team, no one in this room needs permission to make your business more successful. That is very literally your job. That's why they sent you here. They didn't send you here to make your business less successful. They didn't send you here so your business can stay the same. They sent you here to figure out creative, interesting, innovative, low-cost ways to attract more customers, to build better products, and to digitally transform your organization. So back to Jess. What's next? She's going to experiment about the thing. We in the Windows Insider program love a good experiment. So what's step one? A small experiment is always a lot less scary than a project or a product. When you announce and say, hey, I'd like to do a project, that symbolizes you want resources or humans. When you say you want to do a product, that sounds like money. But an experiment is meant to fail. That's the goal. Most of the time, experiments fail, and that's okay, because the learning is what matters. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Experiments are meant to teach learning. Pro tip, always claim you're doing an experiment. It works every time. So Jess has decided she's going to do an experiment. And from her experience of buying a condo, she's, you know, digging back into the human aspect of it, because she wants to expand her customer base. So from her experience of buying a condo the previous year, Jess realizes that there's a whole community of people who do a lot of stuff with documents. Real estate, right? How many of you bought a house or a condo in the last few years? Yeah, so you know the sheer amount of paperwork that goes into this, right? So her realtor, she watched them at work, from sending property listings to clients to filling out like the 9,000 mortgage forms that you have to fill out. Huge opportunity for PageProof to build out its customer base. So she knows her target customer. She understands their pain points, which is sending out documents, getting it annotated, sent back. She understands this. So what does she do? She calls her realtor on the phone. Well, no one calls like this anymore. You really like, hey, you know, or send him a text. And says, you know what? I'd like to invite you to do this experiment. It's going to help make your job easier. Who can refuse that? No one. And she says, I'd like you to bring 5 friends and come to this experiment that I'm running and keep an open mind. She also knows a big pain point for realtors is meeting potential customers. Jess has potential customers. The teachers she works with, her existing community. When you're building a platform, leverage your strength, your existing community. She knows that teachers probably also want to buy property. She also knows that teachers already use PageProof. Just like the Adobe model, once people are already using something, they're probably going to keep using it rather than learn a whole new thing. So once Jess has her target customers, her existing customers, puts them together, facilitates the match, she goes into observing mode. Listen, learn. She's listening and learning. How is she collecting this data? What are their exchanges like? What is she going to do with this data? Notice the discussion is not about her product. It's about what these people are trying to do. No one's goal is, hey, I want to use PageProof. People's goals are, hey, I want to buy a house. Or I want to sell a house. It's the analogy is Uber. No one calls Uber because they want someone to drive them around. Sometimes, maybe you do. But in general, you want to get to the bar fast, like now, right? So think about the intention of the humans, not about your product. Time passes. Jess iterates this experiment and realizes that there's a whole new group of customers that she can also be thinking about, which is the mortgage lenders. They have nothing but paperwork to do and no amazing way to annotate things. She's already plugged in with realtors, so she invites mortgage lenders to the experiment as well. She offers, as an incentive, which is always interesting to do, think about incentives, 1 month free of PageProof to these potential customers, so they can get a feel for what it's like to actually use this product. She experiments, she tests, she refines the process. At the end of this experiment, she observes that only 1 out of 5 of the realtors was interested in using PageProof for annotating their documents, but 2 out of the 4 mortgage lenders were. Who thinks this experiment was a failure? No one. Good, good. Perfectionists always are like, it should be 100 or 0. No. Jess felt her experiment is not 100% successful, but that's the point. The only real failure is not starting at all because you're afraid. If you get to 20%, you've learned a lot. You've learned a lot about these humans. You've learned a lot about the usage of your product that you may not even known about. 20 is greater than 0. 20 is always greater than 0. So Jess's experiment is complete, and she feels that she's now ready to go and engage with other experts. When you want to engage with experts, it's very important to have data and stories to exchange. It's never great to go up to an expert and say, I'm curious about this topic, tell me what you know. They're an expert, they know everything about the topic. Go to them with a specific ask. Say, I've run this experiment, here are my derivations, what do you recommend that I do here? So she wants to talk about the results of this experiment with someone who's been there. So she reaches out to the director of Adobe's Creative Cloud. This director is incredibly helpful, and as part of the Windows Insider program, she's able to talk, you know, IT admin to IT admin about building up this platform. She learns that by gathering data on these interactions between all these new customers she's looking at, she's likely not just going to derive a customer base, but she's going to come up with a bunch of new ideas for products that PageProof should be making. This is exactly what happened with Adobe. Creative Cloud started out as one thing, and it evolved into the suite of products for creative people, just based on the conversations that people were having and their needs. So Jess has talked to an expert. She's gotten her questions answered. She's now ready to do the thing. Doing the thing is always the most scary but exhilarating part. Because now you're convinced, now you're in, right? Jess is convinced. She's like, you know what? I got to turn PageProof into a platform. It has to be a thing. I've got to do it next 3 months. But there's someone to convince. Usually there's someone to convince. As a part of the Windows Insider network, she's fully aware that the people that she's built these relationships with, these experiments she's run, these are all like wonderful data points. But to actually adopt this into her organization, she needs the buy-in of her organization. She needs them to believe that this is a real business thing that people need to do, not just some random fixation that someone figured out because they went to a conference. So she's got to go and understand this deeply emotional creature who she deals with every day, the human who makes decisions. We are so emotional, we're so flawed, and we're so predictable. Because each of us have a currency. And if someone is able to speak to that currency, we are automatically want to do that thing. If you don't know the currency of the human that you're trying to go and engage with, you're not ready to convince them. You must debug the currency of the human. To debug the currency of the human, you need to know, first of all, what do they care about, right? What is the thing that they talk about over and over and over again? And more importantly, what words do they use? Because if you're talking to someone about an idea and you're speaking a different language, they're not even going to understand or believe you. But once you understand what they care about and what language they use, you've got them. So, as part of the Windows Insider program, we teach you the Ninja Cat Hustle. And Jess is someone who is fully aware of the Ninja Cat Hustle. And part of this is understanding that currency is not always currency. Some people, it really is, yeah, I just want to make more money. But oftentimes it's other things, fame and fortune. They want to make the world a better place. They want more time with their family. They want to drive fast cars. They want to retire early. They never want to retire. They want to be valued. They want to be celebrated. What is the currency of your human? Once you know the currency of the human, you know exactly what the overlap is. You need to know the overlap between their goals and your goal. And once you know the overlap of their goal and your goal, you have to state it in their words. So for Jess, her boss had two goals that she talks about over and over again. We need to reduce costs by 10% this year. We also need to expand into a new customer segment. By doing all these experiments, Jess has learned that she's got a goal of her own. She realizes that building platforms and member networks is the modern superpower to have. The fact that every pipeline business is moving to a platform business means that this is not going anywhere. In fact, more platform businesses pop up every single day as pipeline businesses disappear. So being able to build one, nurture one, care for one, and grow one, that is a modern superpower for us tech leaders. And Jess is determined that by growing this expertise, she's also going to take PageProof from a pipeline business to a platform business. She knows exactly what words she's going to use. She's going to use those words. So let's talk about the hustle. If you're human that you need to convince is the risk-averse type, you've got to go a little conservative. Lots of people are doing this. We don't want to be left behind. Data from the experiment shows. I would love to include you and get your input in planning. Or the village elders will love it. That one works on my boss, Bill Karagounis, every single time. The village elders will love it. If your human is the risk-taking type, then you got to do something completely different. You can't tell them everyone's doing it. They're not going to want to do it. That's my currency right there. If you tell me no one else is doing this, I immediately want to do this. This is a crazy, world-changing, insane idea. It's probably going to fail. Works every time on the risk-taking type. They're like, not when I do it, it's not going to fail. We won't have many chances to do this. Use scarcity as just the lever on your side. We won't get another chance to do this, one-time-only shot. Good luck. If you have a deep, trusting relationship with someone, you can use the last one. Proceed with caution. You'll just have to trust me on this. When someone you truly trust tells you that, you do. Most business decisions in the world, by the way, are made because someone texted someone one of these lines. The business decisions are not made in a big conference room with 30 people. They're made because someone sent someone a one-line message that said one of these things. So, Jess's boss is more of the risk-averse type. So she decides to ninja cat and say, we're going to use the data. Dear boss, hello human. I know you have a goal of expanding into a new customer segment this year while keeping costs low, acknowledging that you hear them and you hear their goals in their words. I've done a small experiment, to connect real estate agents with our existing customers, the teachers. We know that the teachers are already used to PageProof. I truly believe that we can get real estate agents to opt into our platform if we proceed. Here's what I need from you, including them, right? I'd love your help to figure out if we should invest here. I have a plan to build out a registration system and forums. Adobe has already done this with their Creative Cloud, and their growth went up by 200%. We want to be like Adobe, right? Of course, her boss says yes. She's done the experiment. She's come to her with the right currency to speak to her. Mic drop. You're welcome, boss. So that's Jess's story. Let's make Dura your story. What's your story? What's the most intriguing thing you've heard this week? That thought that's come back to you over and over again. Like that haunted poltergeist, except less creepy and less weird. But what's come back to you over and over again? That's future you, friend. That's future you telling you, you know what, you should invest here. That's your gut. That's your experience. That's that amazing, amazing, innovative thought that has brought you into this room and to this conference. It's not enough to know what you want to learn more about. You got to know what's step one. What is step one to learning more? Is it emailing the speaker? Is it reading more about it? Is it watching YouTube videos? What is step one? Once you know what that is, write it down. There's something magical that happens when you write it down. And write it down physically. Go find a napkin and write it down. Because once you write something down, your brain registers it as things you have written with your own hands. You've created this. The brain can tell the difference between writing an A and writing a D. It actually creates an imprint. It's very different than typing an A and typing a D. So physically write it down, because now it's a goal that you have. It's not just an inkling or an idea. Once you write it down, it's time to think about how you're going to do the thing. Let's reiterate, you do not need permission to make your business better. That is literally your job. That is why you were sent to this amazing conference, have sat here, listened to speakers all week long, because it is literally your job to make your business better. If you're someone who needs permission, this is it. This is me, Donna, telling you to do the thing. If your boss has issues with you doing the thing, tell her to come talk to me. Because they shouldn't have sent you to this conference. And they shouldn't have empowered you to go out there and be the most powerful version of you possible. By being in this room, you're now a part of one of the biggest member networks on Earth. Right now, you, the person on your left, the person on your right, all of you, you're nowhere close to being the legends that you'll become. All of you are about to go out there and transform this industry, transform this country, and absolutely change the world. Let's do the thing together. My name is Donna Sarkar. I belong to the member network of the Windows Insider Program. If you'd like to learn how to build a member network for your life and work, you want to come rage with us today. Thank you very much.
Great job.
Thank you, Donna, for that amazing presentation. It's been great to have you in the country. I want to sincerely thank you for the engagement that you've had this week with the community. I'm sure it's very well appreciated.
We now want to take time to thank a few people who made Ignite possible this year. To start off, we want to thank you all. Thank you for being here with us this week and investing your time. As Toby mentioned in the keynote, you are the most important relationship Microsoft has. A big thank you to all our speakers, especially those that travelled far to be here with us and committing to making great content. We also want to thank the MVPs who helped out in every way that they could at this conference. By the way, we also want to take a moment to let you know that the highest rated session was, drumroll, Oren Thomas, 30 Terrible Habits of Server and Cloud Administrators. Congratulations.
Special thanks again to Scott Guthrie and Donna Sakar for their presentations. And thank you very much to the crew from Channel 9 for coming out and streaming all the content this week. And also for doing all the community interviews so that you can have an Australian flavour to the Channel 9 website. And please make sure that you complete your evals before you leave today so that we can measure and monitor all of the content that we had through the week. I also wanted to thank all the track owners. You've done an amazing job this year. The Core at Night team, Ignite team from Microsoft, and the wonderful team and the student volunteers also that delivered the HoloLens experience this week. And a special call out to Jack Morton for all, and also to my colleague here, Esther, for all her hard work contributing to the content and making sure that we kept us all on track as we got to this week. So thank you. I'd also like to take a big shout out to our platinum sponsors, AvPoint and Telstra, our gold sponsors, our coffee bar sponsors, our backpack sponsors, and also to all of our exhibitors who, without their support this week, wouldn't make this event possible, and it also wouldn't create the same experience we have for our attendees.
Cool. So with that, I want to get into the prize draw. AvPoint is giving away a Honda CRF 230F trail bike. And I'd like to invite Dux Raymond, CTO of AvPoint.
Thank you, Mo. How's everybody doing? It's a great conference, isn't it? Now, who wants to win this motorbike? All right, so let's see who's the lucky individual.
Give this a bit of a spin. Make sure it's legit.
Is there an Aussie way of spinning this?
No.
No?
No Aussie way. All right, don't fall in.
All right. Are you guys ready? Let me read this out. Make sure you have your ticket with you. And the winner of this Honda motorbike is A0076. A0076.
You got it? Yay, come on
All
down.
All right, come on down.
Can I get out of here?
Now hold your clap. I got to double check. What's that? You have the ticket. Where's the ticket? It's in your room. Do you want to give away the motorbike?
Yeah.
All right, let's give the motorbike to him. Congratulations, Darshan. And you're going to get me the ticket, yeah? All right. Well, thank you, Darshan. Congratulations. All right, come on up. Thanks. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Until the next event, we'll see you then.
It's a wrap. Thank you once again, everyone, for coming along to Ignite this year. We hope you all have safe travels home, and we'll see you at the next event.
Thanks, team.
Bye, guys.